Stugatz here. I know there's a lot going on right now in the world, and we're all shopping online. I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, no-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your own home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Shale Sonnen going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Penzol Performance Line. He has pledged $500 to watch Dan front row in Dana's corner.
In my corner. He doesn't want to be in your Dana's corner. He wants to be right. In my corner.
Wants a front row view of Dan getting beat up by Dana. I want to help Dan. Just wants to watch Dan get beat up. Chael will join us coming up in a second. Here's your SportsCenter update. The United States Soccer Federation's Board of Directors voted to repeal its policy requiring national team players to stand during the national anthem. English Premier League players will wear Black Lives Matter as their nameplates on the back of their kits and will kneel in tribute prior to kickoff of the opening round of fixtures next week.
Fixtures?
Okay. And finally, when Charles Darwin made a list of the pros and cons for marriage, the pros included constant companion and a friend in old age. Better than a dog, anyhow. The cons, less money for books, a terrible loss of time. The bad outweighs the good. I have a feeling. Huh? I don't know. Want to breathe better? Sleep deeper. Snore less and feel healthier. Then take my advice and do what I do. Try Navage. Car wash for your nose. I use it every single day to clean my nose and sinuses and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com. That's Navage.com. Or visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Before we get to Chael Sonnen, Chris Cody was clenching his fists as the last segment ended because he wanted to get in with something and there was not time. What did you want to get in with, Chris Cody?
I was just curious if you guys saw the new blackjack tables at the Allegra Hotel.
So Chael Sonnen is with us now on ESPN Radio. You can check out the Ariel and the Bad Guy podcast, wherever it is you get your podcasts. You management shill. Like, honest to God, what happened to you, Sonnen? You used to be a man of the people. Like, what happened to you? How can you side with Dana White on this? How?
Don't kill time by giving a plug to me and Ariel's show. Let's get down to it. You thought it was a good idea to call out a street kid from Boston who accepted the challenge. I mean, where do we stand on that? Have you accepted or have you found your way out?
Shaq just offered $500 guy $1 million to slap me. You $250K doesn't get me in my underwear at the weigh-in.
Wow, but it was your idea. I'm just saying, I mean, in all fairness, I'm sure he'll give you a beating or he'll give you a way out, but I'm not sure he'll accept anything in between. It kind of seems as though you're a little bit stuck, and I do realize that you're talking a little bit more coherently now, but just take me back in all fairness. What were you thinking at the time that those words left your mouth?
I will tell you what I was thinking. I was fighting for fighter pay. We had an uncomfortable interview. Yes, you're going to laugh at this. I was fighting for you guys to get paid better. I was fighting for Bones Jones and Masvidal and Randy Couture and George St. Pierre and everyone else.
They need help fighting, Chael.
That's right. I was fighting the man. I was fighting management.
He was fighting your fight, Chael.
Yes, that's right.
And he was making it about himself.
And you went to the other side.
No, that's wonderful. So just so I have this right, because I missed the interview, we had an entitled millionaire arguing for other millionaires to make more millions. That's what happened? I mean, those are fighting terms?
Chael, your sport is the only one that doesn't publicly reveal its numbers. Your sport gives less than 20% of the revenue to the people who are breaking their bodies while the other sports give double that. Like, what's the matter with you?
Look, I like what you're saying. What you're saying is very sweet, and I'm with the boys as well. Of course you would like to get more money, but in all fairness, you kind of double-talked right there. You just said our sport doesn't reveal numbers, and then you revealed a number of 20%. nobody really knows, in all fairness. And you know what? I got to tell you this. Other sports did not plan for a rainy day. And so many people have argued that Dana's running away with all the money. Look, the mere fact that he has a fund, a general fund over there for a rainy day, and it happens to be in quite a storm right now, and he can keep the lights on, is proof that he's not running away with it. Yes, he is stashing it. Yes, sure. He's lived through and understood that there's ups and downs and plateaus, but that's called responsibility. How about a pat on the back for that?
He sold his franchise for $4 billion. He doesn't need a pat 4. On the 2. Back.
4.2. Okay. Excuse me, 0.2.
Okay,
4.2. I mean, that might come in handy somewhere. He might need that 0.2. What if he gets in a jam?
And so you've lent, explain, you have said that you will lend $500. You have added $500 to Dana White's $250,000 offer because you simply want to see my face turned into hamburger?
You know, I feel like you're very dismissive of that $500. I feel like you should say it more like this. $500.
It helps.
Like a little more Dr. Evil spin on it, if you will, Dan.
How long would it?
I'm on your side of this. I want you to have what you want. This was your idea. I'm backing you. You think I'm backing Dana? I'm backing you. My friend, my ace, Dan Levitard, had a dream. I want to see it come true out of kindness, out of friendship.
So he underpays his fighters. You dispute this?
You know, there's a few things you're going to need before you fight Dana. You're going to need a mouthpiece, for example. You're going to need a cup. You're going to need to make sure your friends and family have black suits. Like, there's stuff that we've got to check off the list before we just go jump in the ring here, Dana.
How long would it
you
take?
You challenged a street kid from Boston by way of Las Vegas. What are you thinking?
Jail's right. How long would the fight take, Jail? Like, how long would it take for Dana to beat him?
Well, you know, not very long. I would imagine as long as he wants, in all fairness. Now, here's the good news for our friend Dan, okay? They have not agreed on the rules. I mean, we there's a lot of things we could do here to fight, quote-unquote, this out. I mean, we don't have to go MMA. We don't have to box. There's grappling. We could maybe turn it into an arm wrestling contest. But either way, it's mano a mano. You and the boss. That much I do know. That was established.
Oh, no. He's going to take his time with you, Dan.
It's going to be surgical. This guy called me a charlatan. Chael Sonnen, it's such a great word. Charlatan on television. I had no rebuttal. But you, being someone who is sitting here objecting to the idea that I am trying to get your fighters better pay, that I am trying to get the amount of money out in the public, it doesn't make any sense to me that you would be on the other side of that.
I think that that's very sweet. I really do. And good for you. But I would also encourage the fighters to have something known as integrity. When you have a deal and you shake hands, you now have a deal. And if things change and there's an ROI for the guy that took all the risk, good for him. Most of the fighters are a big, colossal loss. I mean, it's just a reality. People think that people aren't in fight promotion because there's a monopoly. They're not in fight promotion because it's the world's hardest business and they don't have the stomach for it. It's just a really tough thing. Look, if you have a deal, you got to see it through. And I do think that goes both ways. But don't forget what else Dana told you, which is things are very different right now in my business. Sponsorships are different. Live Gate does not exist. The expenses to adhere to the commissions who oversee are very tough, but that's for me to figure out. I'm not asking anybody to take less. I'm not asking the cameraman. I'm not asking the person that sweeps the billing up at the end of the night. I will burden this, whatever it is, but I'll honor my side. Come on. He has every reasonable expectation to also expect them to honor their side, in fairness.
Without a union and in the world's hardest business that came out of nowhere and doesn't have fighting people organized, and also, by the way, and I think you know this, even though you come from a different place, many of the people fighting don't have another choice in terms of where else they could fight, and furthermore, many of the people fighting are broke before fighting. They don't actually have any money getting into this game. Usually, guys aren't sane when they choose that, come from money to choose this sport. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think that you're very right, but I also think that there's other piece of history we have to look at. I mean, don't forget how exciting the Olympics are, and there is no money. In fact, that's a rule that you can't take money, or even if you were to look at the NCAA, if you were to look at the world of mixed martial arts, the minimum contract when I debuted in 2005 was $2,000. You got $2,000 to show up, and you got $2,000 to win. That was the minimum. I personally was on the minimum. It also represented the most I'd ever made. The minimum right now is 10 and 10. And I can't think of any other industry, in all fairness. You could go to big oil, Fortune 500 companies. I can't think of anybody who has raised the bottom 500% in that short of a period of time, but I don't ever hear that side of the story being told.
What did you get paid as one of the main draws with your mouth? What did you get paid for fighting Anderson Silva?
Well, I had points on that. So, you know, there was pay-per-view points that broke records. To answer your question, because I've revealed it to you before, and of course I'm going to look like a total jerk, $8 million.
That's pretty good, right? Like, that's not bad money for that. That's something that's, because that's a, it's a headline fight, and it feels like it's great money, but what do you think that fight made for everybody involved? Did you take a look at what percentage of that was against, you know, pay-per-view buys in general and revenue in general?
Oh, yes. I had audit rights. I saw all of those numbers. But, Dan, I will tell you, I will never do a job for anybody. I mean, my ego would be greatly affected if I took a job for anybody and did not make them money. That is my job. If I don't want that to be my job, then I can go down, fill out a promoter's license, put down $100, and go into business against them. It's very fair and it's very above board. And I got to tell you, though, my guarantee was very small. I just wanted to fight Anderson Silva. They could keep their money, but I also come from that NCAA and that Olympic mindset. It was about the sport. It was about the game. It was about the accomplishment and the honor. There's something new about this that is about the money, and I'm watching how big the money is. I look back at the guys who couldn't even dream of a bonus or dream of a guarantee of $50,000. The Mark Colemans of the world, the Mark Kerrs, the Don Fries, the Marco Huas, the Hoist Gracies. I only bring that up because these guys paved the way. But they never complained once. They were thrilled to have an opportunity. And so many guys are like that. But the guys, the 3 and 4, that now have to have a big carrot dangled in front of them, or all of a sudden also have the loudest voices. This is not a phenomenon within our industry. Our sport is very, very happy for a chance to compete. I just want to make sure that part of the story is told fairly.
What should John Jones be paid for a heavyweight fight, given that he's probably the best fighter we've ever seen?
Yeah, I don't know about the heavyweight fight, but again, the way John will be paid is he will get participation. He will literally be given a piece of business for that night. Now, he doesn't have to put up any risk. He doesn't have to put up any capital. He will just be given that. I think with the right fight, and I know the one that you're referring to was Ngannou was thrown around. I think that's a very fun fight. I think that's going to do very good numbers. So based on what those numbers come in, it's based how he will be rewarded. If we're all wrong, and that's not a big fight, well, then it's not a big fight. But I personally think he would probably walk away with around $5 million.
I know that you, I mean, John Jones should be making more fighting in the heavyweight division than you are fighting.
That's
Anderson
the point. You're
Silva.
Leaving money on the table,
I don't know. I don't know the distinction about it being in the heavyweight division. UFC's a little different. Like,
oh, but I'm just talking about John Jones as a draw. Like, I'm just talking about John Jones as someone.
It's a lot of money. It feels light for someone of his caliber. It does.
But, fellas, would you agree with me that he would be paid based on what it brings in? There's not any, hey, what you did yesterday or how good you are. It's how many people want to see you fight. So the structure along that vein is really quite a perfect world. As far as what he brings in, that's really up to the fans. Asking Dana White to make the decision of what the fans are going to sit down and push a button on, come on. That's ridiculous. But John would be given a piece.
I know that you say there's no risk, and what you mean is financial risk, but you understand the risk better than most. Like, what you're doing in that spot is soaked in risk. It's not financial risk. It's the risk of the future of your body.
Yes, it is definitely a contact sport, and you very much have an option to agree or not. All I'm arguing to is once you agree and you're exchanging high fives, you've got a big smile on your face, you're sending out selfies on the social media bragging about the contract, you got to honor the contract. That's reasonable. And every one of your listeners has to do that, too. And, Dan, you're a very honorable guy. That's what you do. And whether you advertise it or not, I'm well aware of
the contract.
Contract comes up, everybody wants to be in the Levitard business.
The contracts are one-sided as it regards the loyalty. There's nowhere else to go to get a contract, Chael. Like, you have to sign the contract. Where else are you going to make a living at this? Like, a proper living at this.
You're saying this to a guy who jumped ship and went to the other side of the tracks where I still reside today. You're saying this to a guy who is with Bellator now. How could you say there's not other places to go? Should we bring Frank Mir and Roy Nelson in here, or we could go the other way and bring in Tyron Woodley and Ronda Rousey, who went from Bellator to the UFC?
Yes or no, Chael, the WWE is a better option for money than Bellator. Yes or no?
No.
For you or for everybody, Chael? Because I don't think you got your facts right on this.
Whoa, numbers don't lie. I'm not in here boasting to you. Look, the WWE could be a lot of fun, but you're on the road 252 days a year. Don't forget, over at Bellator, you're on the road 3 days a year. And no, you will clear, if you're a main event fighter, much more than their top guys clear in 252 days. That's a reality.
Can you fight, Dan?
Will I fight? No, Levitard's my ace.
Okay.
Now, then again, if he challenged me, I'd have to put my ace in the ground.
See you later, Chael. Good talking to you. Check out.
Oh, I had it with you. Oh, see you later, Chael. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Levitard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically, all on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on Demand in the ESPN app. And subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network, featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
Use the hashtag MMA names, as we try to find a good name for me as a mixed martial artist. Also put on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Best name for Dan. Is it Frito Ortiz? Burrito Ortiz? Taquito Ortiz?
That's pretty good.
We've gotten some good ones. Gorge, St. Pierre, Scones, Jones. Chris, what else have you gotten there over the last couple of days in terms of names for me when I come out and wrap Dana White in my cocoon of horror?
Well, before I rattle off some of these new ones, I think Royce Greasy should be in that list of ones from yesterday. That is really good.
Yeah.
But as far as new ones for today, we have to see which one of these can be pushed into that elite category. We have Flonner McGregor.
Very good.
We have Candy Couture. We have an ode to our last guest, Chael Sonnen. We have Chael Dynan. We have Jorge Matzoball. We have Ariel, he'll want to eat it. We have Shish Kabib. And we have Ronda Rousey.
Okay. Oh, nice. Thank you. Keep sending those in. Hashtag MMA names. Chris and Stugatz are also very excited. Mike, have you noticed this? Chris and Stugatz feel like sports is back. They feel like they feel different today than they have felt just because they've gotten golf back.
Yeah, competitive leisure activities are indeed back, and you can bet on it. Let's go, Louis Oosthuizen.
Yes. Listen, I have never seen this many people so interested and so excited for golf, and it's simply because it's the only sport we have, and you can gamble on it. I mean, I have a ridiculous amount of money on the first round of the Charles Schwab Challenge today.
Entertainment purposes only. Chris, what do you have on the golf subject?
Well, it's just, you know, sports have been trying to tell us they've been back for a couple weeks now. The Korean baseball, the Bundesliga, NASCAR. But it hasn't felt real to me until golf. I woke up this morning, I put on Golf Channel, and they had live from the range of this tournament, and it's back, Dan. Sports is officially back to me.
If it weren't merely a game, I would be willing to say that sports are back. Games are back.
I mean, the $50 that I've been losing is indeed real, regardless of it being in the Bundesliga or NASCAR. That being said, come on, Morikawa.
Gambling's back.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
SBN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. The United States Soccer Federation's board of directors voted to repeal its policy requiring national team players to stand during the national anthem. English Premier League players will wear Black Lives Matter as their nameplates on the back of their kits and will kneel in tribute prior to kickoff of the opening round of fixtures next week. And finally, Coca-Cola from McDonald's tastes different compared to other restaurant chains due to a unique delivery system, water filtration, syrup to water ratio, and cooler temperatures. Listen, I don't care what it is they're doing. All Coca-Cola should taste like the Coca-Cola I get from McDonald's. All of it. And every French fry should taste like a McDonald's French fry. Period. End of discussion. Anyway, Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, continues this Sunday following the latest 30 for 30 premiere of Long Gone Summer. The film takes viewers back to the landmark 1998 baseball season. Its tremendous highlights, massive impact, and undeniable complications. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, the after show on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So this guy has been playing hockey across 16 years. Akeem Aliyu wrote something for the Players Tribune about how hockey is not for everyone. You know, Stugatz, that the black hockey player can be really lonely. I'd like to get to, before we get to the substance of what he wrote, sort of his story. So thank you for joining us, Akeem. But how do you go from born in Nigeria to raised in the Ukraine to trying to make it at hockey? It seems like a really unusual path.
I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me. So my dad's obviously Nigerian. My mom's from the Soviet Union. So my dad got a scholarship. It was partial track, partial, school scholarship, and met my mom in university. They had my brother there in 83. After that, they moved back to Nigeria where I was born. And then we spent some time, in Nigeria, then moved back to Russia again. Then we migrated to Canada in 96. And I'm sure you guys know that, hockey's kind of the end all and be all in Canada. So I had no choice but to give it a try. Obviously, things were super hard in the beginning. We didn't have much migrating here. No family. Lived on government assistance for a while. So I'm sure, as you guys know, hockey is a pretty expensive sport. So I had a lot of help, but I picked it up pretty quickly, and so, I was able to move up levels and I excel in the game.
Why did you decide to write what you did for the Players Tribune about the idea that hockey's not for everyone?
I mean, I've been playing pro. I just finished my 11th season. I've played in all the major leagues in the world, including the NHL. I felt that I didn't get a fair opportunity because of race in a lot of instances at the highest levels in the world. And I just felt that it was time to, I mean, at 30 years old, it was time to look at the next generation and try to make it a little bit different. Hockey's looked at as an old boys club, a rich people sport, sport for the privilege. So I think it's super important to find a way to get more cultures and more ethnicities involved in the game, and I think that can only grow the game. So I just thought it was important to tell my story. I know a lot of players have faced the same issues that I have. There's not many of us playing at the highest levels in the world, but like I said, I think it's time to look forward to the next generation.
What are some of the more frustrating incidents of racism that you found yourself butting up against?
I mean, it was kind of every step of the way. It was the tough part is it was constant. It was little things here and there, like, hey, cut your hair or you're not going to get called up from the minors to the big leagues. It was the way you dress, the music you listen to, the way you talk. I mean, you're always different in a hockey dressing room. In 11 years pro and then 4 years a major junior prior to that, I played with one other black guy in 15 years of hockey. So it could be a lonely place. Obviously, the incident that I fell into with my coach in the minors of him using the N word towards me was probably the biggest. Like I said, it's every step of the way. It's constant. There's a lot of subconscious bias in the game.
Did you have to be quiet when faced with the N word? Do you have to eat that because it's in an employment setting? How does one handle that?
Yeah, I did eat it. I mean, I had to. I didn't have a choice. I was a 19, 20-year-old rookie going into my first year of pro. I just signed my contract with the Blackhawks at the time. So my voice didn't carry very far. Like I tell a lot of people, hockey's a machine. Keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, and do as I say. So I knew that if I spoke up against it, I would. I mean, those people have the power in the minors to derail your career quite a bit. So I did eat it. And all the other things, you have to eat. And that's kind of why I spoke up for people to not have to deal with that and to be able to have a voice in those kind of instances.
How lonely was it?
It was brutal. I mean, in my early 20s, that's when my sleep went to hell. Wasn't sleeping much. Just going city to city in the minors. A lot of people kind of look at the guys in the big leagues and think it's all glitz and glamour. There's so much in the background that people don't realize. All the 16-hour bus rides and it was tough. And it makes it even tougher when you're someone of color. Like I mentioned earlier, in 15 years, I played with one other person of color. So just walking in the dressing room, it's just a weird feeling. I say to some of my, obviously I have a lot of white friends. I was like, imagine you walked into a dressing room and you were the only white guy in the dressing room. You're the only guy that listened to hip hop or rap. You're the only one that had a fro, you know? Obviously I have a lot of really good friends from those times as well, but you always feel different and it's been super tough. So like I said, I'm trying to make the road a little bit easier for the next generation of kids.
Akeem Aliyu with us. You should check out the article, Players Tribune, if you want to see what his experience was like. What do you say? What's the counter to someone listening to this and saying, well, what do you mean? Sports is a meritocracy. What do you mean that your career couldn't advance because you were black?
I would say you got to spend a day or two at the highest levels of our game. When you're different, obviously when you look different, kind of the chips are stacked against you from the start. And it's because I feel like our game is so stuck in the 60s and 70s. I feel like we're so far behind the NBAs and the NFLs. Like, we have this joke going on around with some of the black guys in our game saying more people log in to watch what Russell Westbrook's going to wear walking into the arena than watch the actual game. We don't have that. We don't have personality. And if you do, you're looked down as. And I've always been the person to kind of stand up for myself and tell people how I feel. But that hockey just doesn't hockey that wants you to be as quiet as you possibly can. And I feel like that's where we're struggling in our game. That personality, that vibrancy, and just being able to reach different regions of North America and the world. And there's a reason why. If we're being really honest here, I hate to say it because I think hockey is the best game in the world, though, outside of Canada. And I can't even say the U.S., maybe a couple of states in the U.S. and a few countries in Europe. Nobody really cares about hockey. And that's because they just don't see themselves playing in it. And that's one of the things that myself and us as a minority group are trying to eradicate and fix.
I'd like some help with this because I don't know you, and so I don't know what level of bitterness you might have inside you. But if you dream about doing something all your life, I don't know how broken you are right now. I don't know how happy you are as a human being, because this thing that was so important to you that you dedicated more than a decade and a half to, it felt like it wasn't totally fair. Like, has it seeped into every porous of your life?
No, that's a sensitive subject for me. That when I try not to think about it as much as I can, because it brings tears to my eyes, and it's not because of what I've done in the last decade of playing pro. I mean, I'm blessed for that, and I'm thankful for that. But I feel like I should have been at the highest level for that whole time. I mean, I've proven it at every level, and I never got the opportunity to do that. But to answer your question, I always think about my family and my parents for what they went through. I mean, we moved to Canada with a briefcase, and my brother, my mom, and my dad, we had nothing. We lived in a 500 square foot one bedroom apartment downtown Toronto. And what they did to give me an opportunity to even play the game, my dad delivered pizzas on bikes. My mom cleaned hotel rooms. So just for them to give me an opportunity, I always felt like I wanted to repay them for everything they've ever done for me. And I feel like that was stolen from me. So that's what really eats away at me every day. That's what gives me the sleepless night. But I'm also positive in the fact that, hey, maybe I had to go through that to make the next generation have a little bit of a smoother path.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. We appreciate the vulnerability.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Make good nasal hygiene your new normal. I did. Go to Navage.com. That's Navage.com. You'll love that clean nose feeling.
Might I suggest the one place you cannot get phlegmy,
Mike,
is that spot.
It is, but may I suggest that we turn the air down in this studio because it is negative 40 in here. I have been shivering for 90 minutes.
I mean, it's calibrated for having a lot more people in the studio. It's certainly a discussion that we can have, but okay. You're blaming someone else, and that's a fine.
At Lebatard Show on Twitter is where it is that you find the polls. Valerie, my wife, went to the beach yesterday. There were sharks there, and on her way there, there were snakes on the way there because the animals got plenty, plenty comfortable with us not being around, and the beach reopened yesterday.
How is Drew Rosenhaus doing?
I was in Parkland yesterday.
At Lebatard Show, if you want to vote on the polls, what do we have here today, Stu God?
Polls are brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection and shine in no time. Again, at Lebatard Show on Twitter, going back to yesterday, who would win in a fight, a panda or a bulldog? 74% of the audience said a panda.
That's me.
Congratulations. What was Stu God's doing? Sharing his platform, being lazy, both. We were talking about my podcast from this past week. Thank you. 58% of the audience said both.
You're welcome for that option.
Yep.
Got your back.
I appreciate it.
It helped the greater good.
I was both being lazy and sharing the platform. Yeah, but only 2.8% of the audience chose sharing the platform.
Therein lies the truth. Yeah.
Which is a better MMA nickname for Dan? Panda Express, Scones Jones. I love Scones Jones, but 73% of the audience said Panda Express. It's an upset.
That orange chicken is like candy.
Put that on the poll, Guillermo. Is the orange chicken at Panda Express like candy?
Are you still sort of hiding out in your house? 73% of the audience said yes. I mean, should be, right?
I don't know. We're all going to be back inside in a few months.
Is the best time to listen to music while you're cleaning? Chris Cody loves it. finds it cathartic. 72% of the audience said yes, it is the best time to listen to music. How about that, Chris? Is it the best time to nap? Is the best time to nap? This is written incorrectly. I'm not blaming anyone. Is the best time to nap from 3:15 to 4:15 on football Sundays? It was an odd take. It's the witching hour. Anthony gave it. 61% of the audience said no. I'm surprised that wasn't 100%. Super surprised. Which was a worse opinion? Dan thinking the 0-16 Lions would make the playoffs, or Anthony thinking 3:15 to 4:15 on football Sundays is the best time to take a nap?
Wow, no love for Hawks Chris Farley's brother take.
53% of the audience said, Anthony, Dan, you're off the hook.
All right.
That? Is that the dumbest thing Anthony has ever said? 85% of the audience said, you bet it is.
All right. Congratulations, Anthony. Yesterday's polls buried you.